You're listening to Equipped, the podcast that turns gaming concepts into life lessons. I'm your host, Isa Gonzalez, and each week, I'll show you different ways you can clear quests, fight boss battles, and level up, not only in-game, but also in real life. What's up, you guys? We are back with another episode of Beyond Gaming. And so I'm really excited to introduce our guest today. Her name is Kelly Harris. And not only does she like video games, but she is also a copywriter and a content strategist. And so hi there, Kelly. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And I'd really like to know, like, how did your gaming journey begin?
My gaming journey began super early. My father worked in computers when I was a little bitty, and he brought home the very first computer. I was like 4 or 5, and it only ran MS-DOS. So you like had to load Windows. It was that old. And that is where I really like started gaming. Is, you know, it's sad, this kind of dates me, but I remember the very first version of Pong that came out. I remember the very first Lemmings that came out, like that kind of stuff. But I remember always, like, gaming was a big deal in our house. Even though it was older technology, it was still a chance for us to, you know, have an adventure.
Ooh, was this like a pastime that you had with your siblings?
Yeah, my older brother, I think, really got me into gaming as well. He is about 8 years older than I am. And I can remember him playing like old school hockey with very pixelated, you know, little hockey players. And I'm pretty sure that he had like the original Nintendos and things like that. And I can remember going in his room and like trying to play with him, not being good at it, but like just that opportunity to be like my big brother, like. That was just something that was very, like, in our house, I remember him doing that. And I remember him taking the time to, he'd let me play even though I'd mess up his game or I'd, like, kill us both or whatever. But it was a big deal because I didn't get to do a lot with my big brother because he was busy and so much older than I was.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much because I've shared this on the podcast before. That's sort of similar to how I got into gaming. I also have an older brother. And when we were younger, I would just literally stand right next to him as he was playing. I was just like observing him play. And then there was this one point wherein he just suddenly let me try the games that he was playing. And he sort of also was the type to guide me through it, I guess, like in terms of account creation and all of that. And so I could totally relate to that. That's great. I'm glad that you guys got to spend some time in that sense. And, you know, what do you think is a favorite gaming genre of yours as you got older and as you started to discover like how different the video games have changed?
I think for me, I like games that tell the story, that are the storyteller games. That's very in keeping with though who I am, because part of it as a writer is I wanted to be the adventurer. I wanted to go, you know, save the castle or the kingdom or whatever. And so I really love first person player games that you actually you get to be that person and you get to experience kind of what it's like without actually ever leaving your house.
Yeah, that's awesome. It kind of ties in well with the work that you do because it's all about storytelling. And is there a particular game that comes to mind that you can say is the game that you've enjoyed the most so far?
I think for me, it's been the Fable series. And the reason, it's actually three games, Fable 1, Fable 2, and Fable 3. Fable 2 is probably our favorite game. But part of the reason of that is it was a game that came out right around the time I got married. And it was a game that both my husband and I created accounts, and then we would help each other. So we'd get on his account for a little while, and I'd, you know, ping in and then play and gain, you know, money and whatnot as his second. And then he would play on my game. So it made the game a lot easier because we were helping each other get money for the kingdom without ever actually like having to go and do a whole bunch of extra side quests and spend a whole bunch of extra time.
That's awesome. So like you guys still play that regularly until now?
Yeah, we do still play it regularly. In fact, it's one of those things that the first time, like we played it and then it got, life got in the way. And it was about 5 years later that like we found it again and we're like, hey, we should play this again. And then we went back through and like erased our original characters and recreated them and just went back through the entire thing again.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad that you guys found that activity again that you could sort of make or use as your quality time. I mean, that's always great. And I'm curious, like, what is it about this Fable series that sort of appeals to you the most? Like, why is it the game that you guys love playing right now?
Well, it had a really great storyline. It was very, very well thought out. But it was also one of the games that there was some perceived choice. So, like, you could be a bad guy or you could be a good guy based on your decisions. There were also a lot of really fun side quests, some of them completely meaningless and some of them, that were helpful if you knew about them. But if you didn't know, like if you didn't have the book to say, hey, you should probably do this quest, it's going to help you out later. Like a lot of it, we just did it because it was fun. And it was stuff that we could do together and that we, you know, found funny and could talk about outside of the game.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I like how it's very much still geared towards what you shared earlier about, you know, being able to have a storyline and at the same time, you sort of get to decide the character that you want to play or the qualities that you want to have. And I'm really curious, like, from playing this game with your husband, was there anything new that you discovered about yourself or about both of you as a couple?
Well, for me, there were some life lessons I kind of picked up out of that. One being sometimes when you have a problem, you need to tackle it from multiple angles, because especially with gaming, it's really easy to set your eye on the prize and then like try to make it the straightest line from point A to point B, when sometimes that doesn't work. It gets really like it's very difficult to do. And so one of the things that I learned was that, you know, there's a point where you're going to find yourself stuck and it's okay to set it down and walk away for a little while or to, you know, go and Google it or whatever it is to try to just get some other perspective. Because at that point, I always feel like, okay, if I'm stuck, I'm missing something. So what am I missing and how can I go back and fix this? Like, how can I go back and make this particular chunk of the game a success as opposed to, I don't want to play this game anymore. I'm peace out. I'm done. And I find that, you know, just finding a different angle to approach the problem from is usually a game changer in a lot of ways. The other thing I would say is that, you know, one of the other life lessons is it's okay to spend 30 minutes or an hour on a game. But what I found was I had to very much set a timer. Otherwise, I'd get myself sucked in and then 4 hours would disappear, which I know if it's a good game, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You'll get to the end result faster. But what I kind of learned was, hey, 30 minutes a day, while it doesn't seem like a lot, it's going to get you to the end of to what you need. For example, there's a game that I play right now on my phone. I've played it maybe 10 minutes a day for the last like 2.5 years, and I'm almost to level 900. Not because I was like, hey, when I set out, I'm going to get super far in this game. It's because it's become one of my like, oh, I'm in an elevator. Well, I can play this level. Oh, I, you know, have to wait 10 minutes for the doctor. I can play a level. And so what I kind of learned was spending hours, it adds up. You can have this win in life. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have to spend 4 hours a day. You can spend 30 minutes a day and you're still working toward your goal. And then as far as my husband and I go, what we kind of learned together was we enjoy each other's company. Like we are enough alike that the game provided a backdrop for us to talk about a lot of things, especially early on in our relationship. Like, do we want to have kids? Do we want to be, you know, adventurers? What do we actually really want to do? And what him and I kind of like, we tell the kids now, like, hey, we're going adventuring when we go camping or when we go, you know, to a Renaissance festival or wherever we go, we always call it adventuring.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that. There's a lot of things that I want to touch on there, but I guess one of the first ones is going back to what you said about tackling a problem from multiple angles. Was there ever a time in your life that that wasn't what you were doing yet?
Prior to being a copywriter, I was a kindergarten teacher. And I loved it. I absolutely loved the kids. I loved teaching. But what I realized about, probably about 5 years ago now, was in a lot of ways, I was just going through the motions. I was trying to help the kids as best I could, but there was so much other stuff required of the job. Like I always tell people, parents, paperwork, and politics was a huge issue where I live with being in the classroom. And I loved the kids and I loved teaching them, but everything else was literally going through the motions. Oh, I'm required to fill out this paperwork. Oh, I'm required to have this conference. Oh, I'm required to do whatever. And it took me actually stepping back from it to be like, what is going on? That's not what how I want to spend the rest of my life. And then the pandemic hit and I went from teaching 50 hours a week to teaching like 75 and not having a day off because we were required to be in the building Monday through Friday and then required to take the weekend to film our lessons and then edit our lessons down and then push them back out. And it was at that point that it was like, this is not sustainable anymore. It was probably never sustainable, but I didn't realize it.
That's crazy. And what stuck out to me there is that you had to take a moment to step back and sort of reevaluate things, reevaluate the life that you were living. And at the same time, admit to yourself almost that this isn't what you wanted, or this isn't something that you want to continue doing. And why do you think it's important then to sort of acknowledge that there are these different perspectives or these different angles that people can use when trying to approach a certain situation in their life?
I think we get like we are the hero of our life. And sometimes we lose perspective of that because the world literally revolves around us for us. And sometimes we, you know, get so caught up in doing the motions, doing what we've always done. You know, we get up in the morning and we eat breakfast and we brush our teeth and we go to work and we get so caught up in this routine that we forget that that maybe isn't what we were meant to do. That maybe isn't all of our purpose, or maybe our purpose has shifted into something else.
For you, like, what was something that you had to tell yourself when you were about to make that decision that you're now going to start this new career path?
One of the things, there was actually a lot of back and forth on that. Because I, in some ways, felt like a failure. I had this plan and I was going to teach for 10 years. I had never really planned to teach more than that, but we were only at year 8 because the pandemic had never been part of the plan, but here we were in a pandemic. And what I had to tell myself was, yes, this was my purpose. And yes, this is part of my story. And yes, this is, you know, another pebble or whatever you want to call it in my life and a chapter of the story. But what does the next chapter look like? And it actually came down to a conversation with my 11-year-old where I was hem-hawing back and forth like, oh my gosh, should I quit? Like, am I really going to do this? Like, what's the plan here? And my 11-year-old came in and he knew I was upset and he was like, Mom, what's going on? And I said, well, here's the deal. If I look 10 years down the road and I have, there's two paths. One, I'm still teaching, but I'm in the same classroom. I'm 10 years older. You will be 21. Your little brother will be almost 18, you know, but I can clearly see what that looks like. I said, the other path, if I take this path and I start my own business and I become a copywriter and whatever, I can't see the path. It looks like the path from Beauty and the Beast when Belle's father ends up at the castle. It's like it's dark and it's cloudy, but I also know that there's something on the other side that's amazing and different and could very potentially be life-changing. And his response was, then I think you know what path you need to take.
Oh, wow. This is a conversation you had with your 11-year-old?
Yes. And I was like, touche. Like,
gosh. That's amazing. Well, I'm definitely glad then that you got to mention it to him. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. I like the analogies that you used as well. For the first path, like you said, you knew how it was going to look like. It was sort of, it gave you that sense of certainty and familiarity because you already know what to do as a teacher. Like, that's something that you've been doing for years now. But then going to the other path, this path that is like vague and blurry and you can't really paint a concrete picture around it, despite that uncertainty, you said that you felt like something was going to be on the other side. And I think that's so beautiful. And I definitely appreciate your 11-year-old because it's like a one-liner response. But at the same time, it's like there's so much power to it. Like, how did you feel right when you heard it from your 11-year-old? That's crazy.
I mean, I literally was like, oh, touche. Okay, so really, you're right. I already know the answer. And I was finding reasons to stay because it was comfortable and it was easy in right. a lot of ways, because you're right. I'd done it for almost a decade. And so it was like, at this point, I don't have to think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's what I know what to do. And I know how to write a lesson plan and I know how to teach kids. And so there is some comfort in knowing that. And for me, it was super scary to be like, okay, I'm going to really quit. Okay. And I'm really going to be in charge of my own business. Like, holy cow, here we go. Mm-hmm. But for him to say that to me, like in that moment, I kind of already knew it was like, okay, like, you're right. It's time. And I felt like the universe was kind of speaking through him, and the fact that it was like, you already know what you need to do. Now do it.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, now you just have to act. Right? You just have to take that one step to get started. And I love it. Like, that's such a beautiful story. And now, as a copywriter and a content strategist, what do you think are some parallels? Because you mentioned earlier that something that you love or appreciate about video games is the story behind it. And obviously, as a writer, like, everything revolves around stories. But in the context of video games, why do you think it's so important that there's, you know, spot on storytelling that's involved?
I think for video games, the spot on storytelling is so important because there are so many people who are stuck in their day to day. They're stuck in the doldrums of knowing, like, this is what I do. Okay, I go and do this. And for some people, going and playing a video game and being the hero of that game, that's as close as they get to being the hero of their own life. Like, they have forgotten the magic of childhood. And so they will go and play a game, and basically that story becomes their whole world. It becomes their lifeline because they don't know how to say, hey, I'm the hero of my own life. And if I don't like this, then I need to find a way out. I need to find a way to move forward and be the person that I'm meant to be.
Yeah, I love that because it's true that a lot of us can turn to video games as some sort of escape from the life that we are living. But I love how you mentioned that you still can be the hero of your own life. It's just a matter of deciding to be. And what would be some pieces of advice that you would have for someone that isn't living like the hero of their own life?
One of the things I tell people a lot of... For me, I knew going into this that there was going to be some confidence issues just because it was not in my realm of expertise to go start my own business and to figure out how to market or figure out how to sell or figure out, you know, all of these things. And so there was some confidence when I first started that was not confident at all. And what I learned was, to build the confidence, I had to take action. And to take action, I had to be willing to take messy action. So a lot of people get stuck into this perfectionism where they're like, hey, I want to be a writer, but I'm not going to put it out until I know it's perfect. Or, hey, I'm going to go on social media and put out content, but it has to be the right content for the right people. Mm-hmm. And they get so stuck in this wanting to be perfect that they end up never doing anything because it's not ready yet. It's not time yet. It's whatever. And for me, what I kind of had to learn, because I am a recovering perfectionist, was, okay, set the timer. If I'm writing a story or writing an email, you know, set the timer 15 minutes, 30 minutes, And then when that timer goes off, I'm done and I'm going to put it out into the world. And I'm going to get feedback on it. So I'm going to put it out into the world. I'm going to say, here's my stuff. What do you think? What I have found is most of the time people are very helpful and they will give me feedback and then I can take it back and fix it and then put it back out into the world. I have kind of learned that if people are not kind, you have to have kind of a thick skin, but if they're not kind about it, it typically is because they're having issues in their own life. And so if they come at me and say like, oh no, what you put out there was inappropriate or it's whatever, I've kind of had to come to terms with the fact that, oh, so you're having issues. So it's almost like you become a mirror and they see their reflection and they want to make sure that you look like them. And so you take the messy action, you just put it out there. Most of the time, you're not going to have an issue. And what you'll find is a lot of times nobody will say anything, but people are still watching. Mm-hmm. And so take the messy action, because what the messy action does is it takes you one step out of your comfort zone. You might feel like throwing up because you're going to go on and do a Facebook Live or be live on Instagram or whatever. But you may feel like throwing up. But what happens if that what you're going to say is what somebody else needed to hear?
Right.
And you might not ever know that. But taking the messy action puts you one step closer to being the person that you were meant to be, being the hero that you were meant to be of your story.
Taking messy action. I love that so much because I am also someone that tends to be a perfectionist. I think I'm still really trying to work on that aspect of my life, especially with this podcast and stuff. But I totally agree. Like I made an episode about getting your message out because you don't really know who you could impact in a positive way. And you'll never know unless you actually share your thoughts, share your messages with the world. And the concept of taking messy action, I liked how you explained it because one, it addresses like, okay, I know I need to act. And like, I know I need to actually start growing and stuff. But then at the same time, you acknowledge the fact that you had people that you were willing to take feedback from. You were willing to hear their criticism. And that's always something that we need to take into consideration, because without feedback, without criticism, then we won't actually be able to get the full scope of what else is there to improve or whatever it is that we're doing. But at the same time, you also sort of already established a filter. Like you had to learn that, yeah, people are going to give me feedback. Cool, that's great. I could use that to improve. But then at the same time, there will be people there that, you know, are just going to point nothing but the negatives. And then sort of coming from a different place now. Instead of wanting you to improve, they just want to, you know, throw some hate or whatever that is. And I love that you were able to distinguish or create that filter for yourself. I think that's also a really important thing that we need to learn. We still get to choose like who we take advice from, who we take the criticism from. And that's amazing that you get to do that. And earlier, the second lesson that you mentioned, it was about the number of hours or the amount of time that you allot towards something will compound. And I'm curious, like, what was that mobile game that only took you 10 minutes to play each day?
It's actually Harry Potter Puzzles and Spells.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How does that work?
Well, it is basically it's a little game that I have on my phone. It's an app. And it starts out really, really easy. It's kind of one of those games where you like shift stones to make sets of three or four or five or whatever. But then as you get further on, they start to add different things. And what's really interesting to me, or has been really interesting, is they are following the books in the sections that they are actually like, they'll be what they call puzzle sections. And so like the first 40 puzzles are like chapter 1 and 2 of the book. Mm-hmm. And so they actually do in a way follow the storylines of the book. And it's been really interesting.
Nice. I was really shocked when you said you only play 10 minutes per day, but you've been doing it for like years now. That's crazy.
Well, and I didn't even realize I was doing it until this is actually one of those pandemic type things where I had been doing it, you know, whatever, I have 5 or 10 minutes here. Let me just, you know, pull out my phone and do this. And my child, both of my children were like, hey, mom, can we have that game? And we started playing it. And they're like, what level are you on? And I was like, I don't know. Oh, 750. Like, oh, oops. Like, and they were like, how'd you get so high? And I was like, I just play a little every day. And like, I've never sat there and thought like, oh, no, it's my Harry Potter time. No. It's more of a like, oh, hey, I have a couple minutes. And that's the other thing. I don't like just standing around and wasting it, but I also don't necessarily want to be on my phone just watching TikToks. Mm-hmm. I try to be very intentional and deliberate about the time that I spend doing things because yeah. I do have my business to run and I do have to, you know, ultimately, if it succeeds or fails, that's on me. Right. And so learning to be deliberate and learning to be intentional, those were lessons that came kind of hard and fast because I learned really quickly, like, nobody's going to hold my hand and say, did you post your content today? Or, you know, did you actually get the work done that somebody paid you to do? No. So I had to find ways to hold myself accountable to actually do it.
Mm-hmm. I love the bit about intentionality. That was something that I had to work on last year, actually. And so I totally appreciate that. There's like a huge difference when you consciously make decisions about how you spend your time. I think there's so much power into being intentional with whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's with work, your relationship, financial matters, whatever. The intention behind it is important because that's sort of like a driver, it's a motivator, it's the reason why you choose to act in the first place, right? And so I love that. And you mentioned that these were lessons that you had to learn pretty quickly. Was this because you decided to start your own business?
Yeah, it's really interesting in some ways because starting my own business was actually never in my realm of like, this is on my checklist, let's do it. Mm-hmm. In October of 2020, my husband came to me and he said, hey, I know we said that you were going to teach for 10 years and this is year 8. However, school started August 1st and you haven't had a single day off because you've been working literally every single day for school, being at the facility Monday through Friday for meetings and whatnot. And then the expectation was over the weekend, we were supposed to film our lessons, edit them down to 10-minute or less chunks, and then find supplemental material to then turn around and put back out on the internet for the kids. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't had a day off from August 1st until like October 15th. Crazy. At that time. And he said, this is not sustainable. This is insane. And this pandemic has changed education forever. Like, having this online option is always going to be there now. It's always right. going to be there. And he said, you just can't. So you need to figure out what you need to do because in May, when the school year is over, we will pack up your school stuff and you're done. Like we can't do this any longer. And so I was like, okay, so I know I have kind of a hard stop at the end of May. So what is the plan? What am I going to do after this? Like, am I going to go get a job somewhere? What am I going to do? Well, at the same time, one of the other contributing factors to all of this was the fact that our one-year-old, my mother literally said like, hey, I know I've always watched your kids, but your dad and I are old because you're the baby and we'd like to go traveling. So next year you'll have to put Gabriella into daycare. So I was going to be teaching for free basically by the time daycare was taken out of it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, well, I'll figure out something to do and I can figure out a way to work from home. And I started looking online and I found a course to be a virtual assistant. And I thought, well, I can do that because I can do data entry, I can do emails, like I can do all these things that I did while I was teaching. And we'll just go from there. And the cool thing about the program was it taught me how to market myself. It kind of taught me how to do a sales call, things that I had done teaching, but never called it marketing or never called it like trying to sell yourself or whatever.
Right.
And I got that course and I started being a virtual assistant. And then in February of last year, my husband and I, it was actually closer to March, but my husband and I went to a Boy Scout event. And one of the things we had to do was write our 5 goals that we wanted to achieve in the next 18 months. And he could not come up with any. My husband, he was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he starts talking about all the ideas that he has and all the things that he wants to do. And after about 5-10 minutes, I hand him a piece of paper. I'm like, here's what I heard. This is what you want to do. And he was like, where'd this list come from? And I said, you said this. Like, this is what I heard. And he was like, I said this? Huh. Okay. And I kind of realized in that moment that, like, oh, if I can help people with my writing, like, if I can write and help people, maybe that's the purpose that I have. Like, maybe that's what I want to do. And maybe I can be really successful at that. And so at that point, I kind of pivoted the VA business into really more of a copywriting business, because what I realized was I love to write and I'm pretty good at it. And if I could help people get their message across, and that's what I tell people. I said, I help you articulate your greatness, increase your sales, and get your message to the world. And then through life, the other thing life kind of taught me in the last couple months was I'm also about building relationships. I feel like that is a huge thing that is missing in our world, especially with the pandemic, since we went to being totally on a screen for a while. Mm-hmm. Is that you need to take the time to build relationships with people, because, I mean, even in a game, you're taking the time to go through the story, and the story is building relationships. The story is finding ways to resonate with you. And so for me, being able to resonate with people and to share their message has become a big deal. And I feel like that is one of my purposes, is to help them articulate who they are and to tell their story, because stories are how we connect.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing the process that went into, you know, making all these decisions, or, you know, pivoting from your teaching job to now having your own business as a copywriter. That's amazing. And it's amazing, though, that you sort of feel more confident with what you're doing right now. It's definitely evident that there's sort of the shift in how you talk about it. And I'm curious that, because I can imagine that entrepreneurs, businessmen, they really have a different mindset when it comes to, like, getting things done. And I've heard, you know, people say that it's great to, you know, fail fast. It's great to take messy action, as you mentioned earlier. And whenever I hear this, like, it's usually from a video on YouTube, I like browse through the comments, and then there's, like, always someone that argues that failing fast means making mistakes on purpose. And as someone that, you know, that has undergone that process of making that shift, what's your take on it? Like, what's your take on how this contributes to, like, having an entrepreneurial mindset?
You know, it's funny, because the fail fast has been kind of one of those things that I never really thought about until a couple months ago, when somebody, I applied for a job and didn't get it, and was really kind of down about it, because it was like the dream job. And somebody said, well, you know, yeah, you're qualified, but, like, how many jobs have you gone after? How many times have you been willing to, like, put yourself out there? And I said, well, I'm just now starting to get comfortable with putting myself out there, or as comfortable as I can get with putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. And the person was like, you know, maybe you just need to fail faster. And I was like, what? That's kind of rude. But then I got to thinking about it and talking to some of my other entrepreneur friends. And it was an interesting thing, because a lot of them said, yeah, no, there are lessons that we need to learn before we can be successful. If we get successful too fast, then what happens is you make the million and you lose the million. Mm. So you kind of have to be ready to become that business owner. And so the only way you can do that is to get the lessons that life offers you, often through failures. And if you think about it in terms of, there's these lessons that I need to learn so that I can be successful, then we need to figure out how to fail faster, and to figure out how to go through these motions and learn what we need to learn, so that when success does happen, we are ready to accept it.
That's amazing. Like, the way that you worded it out, it's like taking the concept of failing fast from, you know, making mistakes on purpose, to now focusing on the lessons that you'll get from making mistakes. And I think that's like, it's like a game-changing mindset, because someone's perspective really influences how they'll approach everything else in life, right? And so if you're now more growth-oriented instead of failure-avoidant, it actually sets you up. It sets you up in such a much better place, because the mistakes can now be turned into opportunities to improve. And that's what the whole point of failing fast is. And that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us, because I feel like there's still a lot of people out there that are afraid to make mistakes, because in the society that we grew up in, they really look down on people that make mistakes, and we sort of get shunned for it. Or despite all of the good things that you've done, if you make a mistake, that's the one thing that everyone else is going to point out. Like, there's that sort of fear that that will happen to us. But then at the end of the day, there's so much that we can take from our mistakes. And our mistakes don't have to be the ending point for anything that we do. It doesn't have to stop there. Because again, you can reframe it. You can now turn it into a next step. If you made a mistake, what did you do wrong? And how can you not do it in that way again? Like, that sort of thing. And that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I really feel like I need to take down notes, like, when I re-listen to this episode later, just to, like, as a reminder for my perfectionist self that still exists in me. And so thank you so much for that. And I guess before we head off, like, what is one last piece of advice that you would give, you know, anyone that sort of feels inhibited by their own perfectionism right now?
The only thing that's going to change that feelings of perfectionism is really to take the action, because it's going to be the action that changes things. And for anybody that's listening that's like, oh man, that's hard, it's not, I'm not saying it's not hard, but I'm saying it is life-changing. And it doesn't have to be a huge shift, because huge shifts are not sustainable. We're talking about one thing that you can do to start changing your tomorrow.
That's actually so freaking true. And that's why it's so beneficial that we learn how to break things down. And when we have like these little pieces that are still related to what we want to do, or sort of related to what we want to try out, when we get to gather those little pieces, it's like us building our own momentum. And I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Kelly. And I don't know if you noticed, but on the podcast, whenever I end an episode, I like to sort of give space for the listeners to reflect on their own. And so as our guest for this week, what do you think is a question that you would want to leave our listeners to ponder on?
Okay, so the question I have for all of your listeners is, what small act of messy action are you going to do this week to be the hero of your own story?
What small act are you going to do this week to be the hero of your own story? There you guys have it. That's our question of the week. Thank you so much, Kelly. Like, I'll make sure to leave all of the social media links to Kelly's work in the description box below. But Kelly, do you happen to have like any upcoming projects or events that you'd like to promote?
There are several things that I have that would maybe be something that people want. If you guys need any kind of writing, I do offer half day and full day VIP days where you can pay me. And then for the entire day or half day, depending on how you do it, you get to be my special person. And I basically push your project to the very top, and you are the hero for the day, and I get all of your stuff done super fast. So if there's anything like that that you need, or you need any kind of email help or anything like that, please, please don't hesitate to reach out.
There you have it, you guys. We just heard from Kelly Harris. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Kelly. And if you guys enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to follow, rate, and review the podcast. It really means a lot to us. And if you guys didn't know this yet, we are currently having a giveaway to celebrate 10,000 downloads. So if you guys want to win some Steam games worth up to 2,500 pesos, make sure to click the link in the description box below. You guys can join until July 31st. So yeah, that's it for today's episode. I hope you guys have a great week ahead. And as always, stay safe, stay healthy, but also stay equipped.